I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Who doesn't like a good love story? Girl meets boy, girl and boy fall in love, but then family intervenes, and so does a feud. The plot of so many romances, think Shakespeare or Hollywood. It's also the story of reporter Kavita Pillay's parents. They were both born in Southwest India, but into different castes. And when they married against their family's wishes, it did not go over well. Today, we continue our series, Cast in America, a reporting partnership with WGBH and the Pulitzer Center. Kavita Pillay looks at her parents' experience as an intercaste couple and how their caste identity makes a difference to them here in the U.S.
I like to tell myself that deep down, my overprotective, suburban, Indian immigrant parents are still rebels with a cause. That's because 50 years ago, they fell in love and married across caste lines.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you? Hi, Dad.
In 1969, for two people of different caste to get married was considered very scandalous.
It's not scandalous. It was not common.
That is why it was scandalous. Anything which was rare was scandalous.
My parents, Indira and Bala Pillay, now live in Boston, but they're from the South Indian state of Kerala. Kerala has India's highest literacy and life expectancy rates, and it's known for being very progressive compared with the rest of India.
His family went insane. They were ready to disown him. His family said things like, I may have performed some black magic to make him fall for me.
I told them, listen, you know, I don't care about what all these relatives are talking about. I love her. I want to marry her. You may not like it. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, you can go to hell.
To my American ears, it sounds brave and romantic. Once upon a time, it was unthinkable for even the shadow of someone from my mom's caste to fall on someone of my dad's caste. That's because my dad is from the Nair caste. Nairs are a dominant caste in Kerala. Many consider themselves to be the descendants of warriors and landowners. My mom is from a lower caste called the Iravas. What was unimaginable to my grandparents became possible only because my parents met in medical school in India. They were both doctors. They saw each other as equals.
We decided to come to the U.S. to escape the feuding families.
I grew up in America not thinking about caste. My Indian American friends and I didn't have to. Probably because the vast majority of Indian Americans are like my dad and come from generations of caste privilege. That privilege can help pave the way for us to do well in this country. It turns out that there are Indians who still embrace their caste status, even in America, which is what brings me to a resort outside Chicago, surrounded by golf courses and McMansions, for a convention held by the Nair Service Society of North America. The original Nair Service Society, or NSS, was founded in Kerala, and this is their third major convention in the U.S. Over 180 families are here from across the country and Canada. There's a lot of Nair pride here, and the convention schedule is nonstop. There are dance workshops, a women's empowerment seminar, a fashion show, even a competition for the title of Mrs. and Mr. Nair. On the second day, there's a rambling seminar that intertwines religious history with what's meant to be career advice.
That enticing of the mind is happening.
But at the end, the speaker begins comparing the caste system to different divisions in a company.
So in every company, this Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, and Sudras will be there.
It's a muddled explanation, both a justification of caste and a dismissal of its realities.
And that has nothing to do with the caste system, as people we are wrongly understanding in India. This is a universal pattern.
Over the course of several more panels, it's not clear whether anyone here disagrees with this stance, that the caste system is no different from a company hierarchy, until...
The hierarchical standards that are practiced in our Hindu religion do not align with my beliefs on inclusivity.
Shreya Menon is a young accounting student from New York. She begins her question by stating that she is a proud Hindu, but...
I am uncomfortable with practicing the segregation that comes with being part of the caste system. So my question is, what can NSS do to align with the youth's beliefs so that we can one day be proud, be very proud to carry on this organization into the future?
Thank you, Shreya, for asking this very important question.
In fact,
the person designated to answer Shreya's question confesses his own discomfort with caste.
Yes, it has got a little inhuman quality.
He says it was originally about division of labor, but should be abolished.
But now there is reverse discrimination in Kerala, and so it is time that NSS should take an active step in trying to bring everything to parity. In fact, I've written...
So-called reverse discrimination. India has the world's oldest affirmative action program. It was written into the Indian Constitution in 1950 and authorizes quotas for marginalized groups in government and university admissions. But there's plenty of backlash. Nearly all of the convention attendees I speak with complain that it helps Dalits and lower castes get jobs and into universities, which they say makes it harder for upper castes like the Nayars. 50 years ago, my parents thought that caste was on its way to becoming an artifact of history. As it turns out, the Nayar Service Society of North America embraces the tradition of marrying within the caste. In 2017, they launched their own matchmaking website called Matrimony for Nayars, with well over 200 potential brides and grooms. For The World, I'm Kavita Pillai.
Hey, Kavita.
Hey, Rupa Shenoy. Hi.
I was wondering if I could ask you a couple questions about all that because, it resonates so much with me.
This is The World's Rupa Shenoy. Her family's also from South India.
It's really strange. Like, I have trouble, understanding how I feel about it.
One of the things that I think makes it so hard to understand caste as outsiders is that it is so confusing. It is so old. There are so... We simplify it and say, oh, there are four or five different levels of it, but there are hundreds and thousands of subcastes. And for an outsider, it's like, whoa, I don't have a language to understand this. I don't have a way to understand this. And it can be really hard to find an entry point.
The incident that really stands out for me with this, when it really hit home, was when I was visiting my father's family. And the family servant who raised my father pretty much would sit there on the floor. And so I picked up my plate and got on the floor, and she was just looking at me. She was like, this is really weird. This is where I belong. You belong up there. Mm-hmm. Please follow the rules.
Right. Yeah.
And after that, I was just like, I can't really participate or come to an opinion about this because I have no clue about it.
Yeah. I think that in a lot of ways, understanding that makes it easier to come to America and figure out hierarchies here, because we have a lot of unwritten codes that might be mystifying, you know, to outsiders as well, you know, around our social hierarchies.
That reminds me of just how Indians are model minorities here, and they are used in certain ways to pit against other minorities here, So it sounds like this almost helps Indians play into that, the Indians who want to participate in that.
Right. It has been used to, instead of unify us, pit us against other minorities with no recognition of the fact that, say, at least for Indian Americans, the vast majority of us come from generations of caste privilege. We hear the stories of, our families coming here with a handful of dollars in their pocket and one suitcase, and we don't realize there's a lot of stuff that set them up in India and then in the U.S. to do really well.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the story, you say, you know, I hadn't thought about this before. And I think I mentioned I hadn't thought about it before really either. And that, to me, sounds like a lot of white Americans who don't have to think about racism in the U.S. So why do you think it's important to recognize privilege in this way?
Privilege is this thing that is totally invisible until you recognize it or you are made to recognize it. I grew up in Ohio. You know, as a brown girl in Ohio, I've mostly thought of myself as marginalized in America.
Me too, yeah.
And the thing is that we are both marginalized and privileged. You know, we have these binaries in America where you think, oh, you're one or the other. You're either privileged or you're marginalized. And I think for people like you and me, it's like, oh, we're actually kind of both and. There are conversations that I could have with people who have gender privilege or
racial privilege or whatever it might be that I couldn't have had otherwise if I didn't recognize my own privilege, right?
So this is what really reminds me, like, the way you talk about racism being, people think it's clearly defined here. So this is racist and this is not racist in America. We think it, people tend to think of it as very clearly defined. And I think that's what was going into my thinking going to India, because nothing's clearly defined there. And it is so frustrating. But anyway, so how did your parents react to this? What did they think of you focusing on them? Because among all the Indian elders I know, it would be a bad scene.
My mom is so frank about it. I think my mom has really just embraced what happened. But I think it's also fraught, because I don't think my parents ever had a chance to feel like, oh, we really bucked the system. And I think because I'm one generation separated, they had some distance to process it a little bit, right?
Did you always know that they were an intercaste marriage, or did you find it out at some point?
I don't remember ever not knowing. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that I knew anything about caste. I would just have to kind of watch and observe, oh, why are my aunties kind of stressed out when my dad's family comes to visit? Why does this seem like such a big deal? But it's been a process of fitting things together, I would say.
That's reporter Kavita Pillay and the world's Rupa Shenoy talking about their family's experiences as part of our series, Caste in America. Tomorrow, we'll go deeper into the question of how caste still exists for Indians living in the U.S.